Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Good afternoon, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have an amazing show today. Really wonderful what we've been able to figure out with Miss Lori Hamilton, the founder and president of Prosperity Productions. And you know, if you watch the show regularly, you know that we like to bring the best of the best on the show, the worldwide leading experts. And we've been able to really, well, book one of the worldwide leading experts in customer insight and customer engagement. And Lori is the founder and president of Prosperity Productions. If I spent all the time that we've carved out for the interview talking about Lori's background and experience and all the awards that she's won and all the things that she's done and her teaching assignments at top-notch universities, etc., we'd be spending the next 30 minutes just talking about that. So maybe we'll get into that in a little bit. But Lori, first of all, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. I'm excited to talk to you and to share some ideas, hopefully, with your audience.
Lori, this is so amazing. I mean, you've worked as a marketing, you know, strategist, a researcher, a creative consultant for more than 20 years. Your work has generated over $3 billion in incremental business for clients, really ranging from Fortune 500 companies to startups. You're an amazing sort of talent in what you do, but let's start by pulling the lens back to 30,000 feet and tell us all about Prosperity Productions.
Sure. Well, it starts with the premise that whatever you do best as a person or as a company, you have almost no awareness of because your brain doesn't have to pay attention to things that come easily to you. Have you ever met a person who's like, I'm a people person? And you're like, no, you're not. Or you're at a party and someone goes, oh, I'm so funny. I don't think so. Versus when someone that you maybe don't know that well gives you a gift that is so perfect for you, you're like, oh my gosh, you know me so well. So what we do is we get people to reveal their underlying motivations, the messy truth about what's really going on in life by getting clients to tell us the stories behind what they're doing and then connecting that to the value that the companies provide. So that's basically what we do.
I love it. It's really awesome. You really get inside the data. You go beyond the obvious to really help your clients make informed decisions that really connect the consumers to your customer's brand and their brand reputation and also to boost engagement. So what type of companies reach out to you, Lori? Which are the companies that really need this assistance to capture this insight that you're able to provide?
Well, we're very fortunate. We have a wide range of companies in a wide range of different types of categories. The companies that really get the most out of what we do are actively interested in how do we connect? What do we need to know? And almost all the time, I mean, let's face it, when you ask an adult a question, they kind of have an idea about what the answer is. So we start with, well, all right, what do you think the answer is? Almost, I would say, not almost all the time, all of the time, what we think we're going to hear is different from what we do hear. And part of that, Andy, is because we get people to tell us stories. And have you ever asked a little kid, why did you do that? They're like, I don't know. If you ask an adult, why did you do that or what do you want? They're going to give you their intellectual answer. But if you get them to tell you a story, you're going to see a lot more deeply. And it goes, sounds like what you'd really like is this. And they go, yes. So companies that are interested in those kinds of things. In terms of specifics, it might be discovery. We have a new market that we're looking for, or we've got a big market. We need to divide it into segments, or we're not really sure why people are doing this, or we have a new product or service. And we want to make sure that what we're doing that we think is valuable is actually what's valuable to them. Or it might even be we're testing communications, we're testing a website, we're testing a program. So it can be anywhere from the beginning of the process of really learning about the customer all the way down to the granular details of this or this.
I love it, Lori. It makes all the sense in the world. And I love that analogy of the young child when you ask them the question. And, you know, what this really comes from, it's very apparent to me from doing the research and, you know, learning more about what you do, is that companies reach out to you because they're really trying to provide a better service or product to their customers. They really want to do something that's above and beyond, world class, to become the best, to become the dominant brand in their space. And the only way they believe that they can become that, and they know that they can become that, is by learning what their customers want and learning about the customer's sort of mental approach to their brand or what they're thinking about. So when companies reach out to you, Lori, is there one question that they say, you know, Lori, I've got this big, you know, burning question that you kind of hear from most of the companies that reach out to you?
We have four big questions that people ask. The first question is, make me look smart. I need to understand what's going on with this audience. The other one is, keep me out of trouble. We're getting ready to launch this thing. I think we know what we're doing, but we're not. We want to make sure, like, let's say you got an ad campaign. We think this is a great ad campaign. We want a disaster check. Is there anything in there that doesn't work? Another one is, get me out of this excruciating pain. Maybe you're in a competitive situation. Maybe you've just spent way more money than you thought you were going to do developing the product, and now the heat is on to make sure that it really succeeds. Or you've got a distribution system that you just bought and you want to integrate it. This could go wrong in 1,000 ways. Where are the opportunities? Where are the dangers? And the last one is, can you make me have this crazy dream come true? I've got an idea. I've got an insight. I think this is a really hot idea. I want you to validate it for me. I want you to validate it and figure out of the 10,000 things I could say about this cool thing I really did. First of all, is it cool? Secondly, how do we communicate it simply so that someone goes, that's amazing. I can't wait.
It's so interesting because you've really carved out this incredible niche opportunity to be able to help so many companies learn more insights, and really it's data driven. You know, you've taught insights and innovation at Columbia University's master degree program yourself in strategic communications. I think you've also taught at NYU Business School, Pace University. You speak 3 languages. You can do 32 accents. I mean, you've got so much communication skill that you've really been able to garner throughout the years. When you talk to a company and then you go talk to their customers to find out really what's going on behind the scenes, how important has that background of yours been to help you get to the real insights that the companies really hire you to provide?
That's a great question. It's kind of a two-part answer. My undergraduate studies was linguistics and modern British drama. And linguistics at UCLA is all about how language evolves in storytelling. So if you've ever watched any crime show, like some people talk for a really long time and some people talk for a short amount of time, we use language as behavior to tell stories, to connect. We use colloquialisms or jokes to connect with each other. So part of it was understanding how language and storytelling really connects or doesn't connect with people. The second thing is in analyzing movies or plays, there's no judgment. If you're playing a bad character, you never think of them as bad. You think of them as justified. So your goal, for lack of a better term, is to go in with love, to be a believing mirror, to say, I want to, there's treasure in them hills, if you will. I want to go into this company and look at all the good intentions and look at all the good work. I want to know. A lot of times companies will think they know what they did that's great. And underneath the surface is this, well, of course, you would never treat somebody that way. Value system, that is what really makes the customer shine. And similarly, I've been fortunate enough to interview over 25,000 people. We have little brain nerd things. everything. We have in our bodies something called the vagus nerve, V-A-G-U-S, which goes from the base of your brain into your stomach. It's your gut reaction. And we are literally biologically programmed to mirror each other. So my goal when I'm trying to find out insights is to not be the smartest person in the room, but to be the most curious and the most loving person in the room, so that people get that experience of someone actually being interested. I really want to hear what you think. I want to hear how you're feeling. I want to understand you. And when you give people that opportunity, the insights just reveal themselves.
That's so great. I mean, you've really worked with some of the largest and most important companies in the world. I mean, your clients have included Google, ConAgra, Intuit, Rubbermaid, Deloitte, Citibank, MetLife. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You know, Home Depot, Procter & Gamble, you know, Kimberly-Clark, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson. When we think about those world-class companies and they reach out to you, Lori, is there something at those companies that sort of is the same with why they want so much knowledge from their customers? Is there one thing that sort of is the fabric that goes through the network of what they're doing as to why they're a great company?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's part of it is the culture of the company. And in some cases, it's the due diligence of doing your homework and making sure that you don't mess up. I also think, though, that we work well with individuals who are actually curious about the answers. I always tell my students at Columbia, do not be the smartest person in the room, because everyone hates the smartest person in the room because they want to be the smartest person in the room. Be the most curious, be the most enthusiastic. And what I've been our whole team has been so fortunate. We work with people who have a standard of excellence. We work with people who are genuinely looking to make the world a better place. Let's talk about insurance. That seems really boring until you realize that if you don't get automobile insurance or house insurance or group health insurance and something bad happens, guess what happens to the wealth of not only your family, but your children? So you can actually impact the wealth gap in the United States by doing a better job of selling insurance. And part of what we try to do is to lean into those good intentions of really wanting to be best and wanting to be great and go, you know what? You think you're selling insurance. Look what you're doing. You're changing the world. You're making people's lives better. You're helping families. You're helping children. You're helping all of us, whatever it may be.
Lori, it's amazing. You've had such an incredible entrepreneurial journey. And we do have younger entrepreneurs watching the show, maybe in their startup phase. Is there something that you see in startup companies that they miss? Is there something that you see in startup companies where maybe you say to yourselves, you know, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're too much focusing on your technology and you're not even thinking about your customers. What are some of the glaring mistakes that startups are making from, you know, your perspective as an insight expert on engagement?
Well, first of all, we all do this. I do this. This is why I have people that work with me as well. It's just part of how we are. Whatever you are good at, you don't know. So like you watch a character in a movie or a television show, you know them way better than they know themselves. So a lot of times what happens with startup companies is they'll say, I've talked to a lot of our customers, so I know the customer. No, you know what you talk to with a customer, but you don't necessarily know all of the background. I'll give you an example. We're working with a company, an entrepreneurial company, came out of MIT, and they created a formula to deal with acne that is unique to each individual. So it's a custom formula. You do a test, and then it goes into software, and it's all AI, and then it comes back with something that's perfect for you, and it modifies over time. And what they really thought they were good at was this incredible technology. And the people talked about the incredible technology, but when I interviewed their customers, do you know what they said? They said, I met the owners one-on-one and I believed that they cared about it because they had acne when they were a teenager too. They thought, oh, it's my fault. I just have bad skin. There's nothing out here for me. So it was the heart and the intention that they brought to the table plus the technology. And whatever entrepreneurs will, they'll go, well, of course, whatever your heart is, whatever you love, the reason you get up every day and work as hard as you do, that a lot of times is your competitive advantage alongside of whatever you're putting effort into.
It's so interesting. And of course, I don't want you to give up any of your secret sauce, but can you tell our audience the types of questions that are open-ended enough maybe to get those stories coming back to you that give you meaning and are able to provide data through those stories to your customers.
Yes. And first of all, I'm happy to share secret sauce. The more of us that are asking better questions, the better off we'll all be. So no, you know, there's plenty of work for everybody. One of the questions that I ask everybody, even I've been interviewing people who are managing literally billions of dollars in pension funds. And you would think all you would talk about is business. But the first key question you want to ask is, tell me a story of when you felt successful. Because if you ask, let's say, you know, financial manager, they'll tell you about dollars and cents. But if you, what made me feel successful? I knew something somebody else didn't know. I managed a really great team. I was able to convince the board that we should do things that are more environmentally friendly. So what makes me feel successful? And then tell me a story of when you didn't feel successful. And then, for example, like I was just talking to somebody earlier today about pharmaceutical things. You're talking to doctors and they're very data oriented. You go, all right, what's your ideal outcome? What's your nightmare outcome? What do you wish you had? And if you had that, what would change in your world? Because what you want to do in the types of qualitative work that we're doing is essentially get a movie in your head of what's going on in a person's life. Even something as simple as almond milk, which you got, what is there to ask about almond milk? All right, so how many milks do you have? I've got almond milk and oat milk and regular milk and 2%. Okay, so if I had to ask you what the job of each of those milks is, what would it be? And so you get, the main thing you want to do is tell me a story about, and then you fill in the blank. And if you do that, you're going to have an amazing conversation.
Lori, I love it. Tell me a story about when you go out and you find all this great information for your clients and you learn something that maybe the client wasn't expecting, or maybe that the client might be freaked out about, or maybe that the client has totally made the wrong decision about. Do you just go straight at your client and just tell them the results, or do you actually tell them what they should do based on what you've been able to garner as an insight expert?
First of all, that's an excellent question, because you have to realize that your first target audience is your client. And do we do one ad and convince everyone? No. Clients are like rubber bands. They stretch in the meeting and then they stretch back. So what I always do is I always have informal discussions so that we're all going on the ride together. As I'm learning something, they're learning something. And it's important for a couple of reasons. First of all, because when you're giving someone a surprise, particularly as you just mentioned, an unwanted or an unexpected surprise, people need a moment to digest that and process that. The second thing is, and we're very careful about this, everybody that's on my team has been a client or an agency person or a consultant or a combination thereof. So we know about taking research and implementing it. No one likes research that's like, surprise, have a nice day. And now you have a doorstop and you have to figure out how to translate it. So it's very important that that research report is a marketing tool to create enthusiasm, to get people to pay attention, to invest effort, and you've got to make sure that you're connecting with your target audience. So first of all, we do a lot of informal conversations ahead of time. Secondly, I listen to how the client talks about the findings. However, the client talks about the findings is how we present the findings so that when they get it, it doesn't feel like our report. It feels like our report.
See, that's great. And that's such a great approach. And you become part of their team. You become their partner. You become passionate about your client's success. And that's really a great learning experience for the people watching the show, coming from Lori, that you really become a partner. You want your clients to succeed. You put them at the forefront of everything you do, and they feel that and they know that's happening. That makes for a great team and a great relationship and a great business relationship as well. Now, one thing, Lori, that you're an expert at is really messaging. And one thing that you do that is very interesting to me, because so many people talk about the right message. So many people talk about the right approach. What's the right message? What's the right approach for communication? What's the right approach for my sales team? What's the right messaging for my advertising? And these are areas that you're able to bring a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight to your clients by really talking to their clients about their story. So let's talk about that. How do you bring this amazing sort of vibe to your clients with regard to test messaging, communication, sales, and advertising messaging?
Well, thank you for the question. That's very, you're very, very sweet and kind to say those wonderful things. First of all, you have to remember my job, nothing good or bad happens to me if they don't take the results, except that I feel bad. My job is to make my clients a hero. I'm very proud of the fact that three of our client teams, the entire team got promoted after they worked with us. Yay. So that's always a good thing. Going back to messaging, again, I like to keep things really simple. This is not, I mean, I know people have a lot of jargon, but let me just be honest. Your messaging should be as close as possible to what a super fan would say to someone else about you. Number one. Number two, when you're doing advertising or communications, you're not giving them information, even though there's information embedded in it. It's sort of like a giant pie with a piece cut out. And the piece cut out is the piece that you want the target audience to fill in. So what you want to think about is giving them a little free sample of what it's like to experience working with you. We're working with a children's clothing brand right now, and it's fun. So if you have copy that's really dry and boring, that doesn't go with the experience of it's super fun to pick out kids' clothes. You know, if you're dealing with financial services, it doesn't feel fun to have a whole bunch of words that you don't understand. Not that you have to be super, you know, neighborly, but make it so that when I'm listening to you talk, I feel smart. You're making me feel empowered. You're making me feel smart. So what you want to identify really easily, well, not easily, but quickly, is if somebody else loves you. A lot of times people want to talk to non-customers. Talk to your super fans. When you tell somebody else about our company, what do you say? If you do nothing else, entrepreneurs, ask them, what do you tell someone else? Write that down. That should be your marketing message. Second thing, when you tell me a story about when you interact with our company, our product, what does that look like? And then you want all of your communications to be as close to that as possible. I'll give you another example. We were working with, they've changed it now, so I can tell you. We're working with Microsoft at the time that they had this ad campaign saying, we're people. We care about people. Can anyone relate to the fact that Microsoft is not the most people-friendly company? So when you do things like that, not only is it not effective, you look dumb because you look like you don't know what you're talking about. So we're like, listen, you're really smart. You're going to make other people smart. Lean into who you are. And if you're going to be the soup Nazi and go, no soup, you got to learn this stuff. This is what you got. Be that. People will love you for being authentic, even if what you do is a little bit challenging to work with.
Lori, it's so super interesting that you said that because, you know, leveraging off of that key, you know, insight that you just gave, we have a lot of young entrepreneurs watching the show that have a startup. And oftentimes we speak to them and they're so in love with their technology. They're so in love with their brainiac idea that they don't even talk about the customer. They're only talking about the technology and what it can do and how it was built. But they oftentimes don't talk about the customer or the client. Is that something that might drive an expert like you crazy? And how do you help those people understand that it's not so much about the technology, it's about what the technology can do to make their customers' lives better?
Well, it doesn't drive me crazy because it's understandable because that's what they're spending all their time on. I'll give you an example of this. Is what you want to do is think about what is, again, because usually when you talk to people who do the technology and you get them to tell me what the technology does, tell me how the technology impacts someone's life. So we were working with an accounting software company and they're like, if you do this right, you can make these decisions as a business owner. I'm like, you have that in your head. Your customer doesn't. When you say we can do these functions, there's a movie in your head of what's possible. You got to make that movie something that the customer sees. Another example is we're working with a company that does medical claims exception processing, and they're the best in the business. And all they wanted to talk about was their new software. And I talked to their customers and they're like, yeah, frankly, we tolerate them talking about their new software because we like them. Here's what they do. They make it possible for Jennifer to get her cancer treatment because they process that medical exception claim. They make it possible for that 5-month-old to get that extra physical therapy that he needs because they process that claim. They take money and they make it work more efficiently. We're not wasting money. We're not wasting time. We're able to give more patient care that we want to give because they find the errors and they fix them. The impact, the significance, the moving in your head of the meaning of the technology, that's what you want to uncover.
That's beautiful. I mean, that is really beautiful because in this particular case, the technology company was talking about the technology and they forgot to realize that the technology that they were providing did something on the other end that allowed someone maybe to get a necessary surgery or impact their life in a powerful way or change their family dynamic in a powerful way because they're now on the track to get more healthy. I mean, it's beautiful. And so what you're saying is their messaging probably needs to tie into that more than the technology part of the messaging, right?
Right. And you are not the expert on what is valuable about you. You're just not. Your most loyal customer, whether, and maybe you don't have any customers, maybe you have investors, maybe you have super fans. Ask them, when you talk about me to someone else that doesn't know what we do, what do you say? That is the key clue that you're looking for on what your messaging should be.
This is great. And for the entrepreneurs watching the show, rewind this back a few minutes and just listen to what Lori's saying. I mean, you're getting your Harvard MBA right now, you know, or your Columbia MBA with Lori here. It's absolutely incredible what's going on with your company and Lori, the insight that you have. Let's talk to younger entrepreneurs. Let's talk to those entrepreneurs that are having a tough time. Let's talk to those entrepreneurs that are hitting a roadblock and maybe they're hitting a pothole in the road. They don't know how to get around it. Maybe they hit it. They freak out a little bit. They're not sure what the right mental approach is or the right spiritual approach is to that problem. Maybe you could share some insight based on your years of insight gathering about what those entrepreneurs should do when they face those tough times in their business.
Right. And first of all, young entrepreneurs, everyone hits bumps in the road. Everyone has tough days. There is no hall pass out of being human. You know, I don't care if you're Oprah or Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or, you know, whoever you admire. That person Warren Buffett has roadblocks too. The difference is when you've gone through roadblocks, you don't see them as a report card on you or your life. You go, it's a roadblock. So let's start with kind of the mental game. The first thing is sometimes you need to just take a break and stop playing with it. Because whenever something is uncomfortable, my first impulse is to just like try to solve it. And it 1000% of the time is not a good idea. Take a break, get some perspective, go have a grilled cheese sandwich, go for a walk, play with your pets, you know, take a shower, take a nap, let it go. Second thing is to say to yourself, there is a solution here. I just don't see it yet. And sometimes the answer is don't just do something, sit there. In terms of finding your way, the best advice I can give you, and it took me a long time to get this, so I'm hoping I'm saving you some time, is the North Star of your life and your work is not what other people want. It's not the unmet need in the marketplace. It's not what the survey says. It's the little things that light you up inside just because. The things that you love just because. I bet if you sat and thought about it for a minute, there are companies that make bulldozers because it's fun to make bulldozers. There are people who make ads because they like watching TV. There's all kinds of businesses because somebody, when you're going to put that kind of time into it, you've got to love it. And you've got to do it because you love it and because you love your customer. You're creating a gift. You're bringing a gift into the world for a particular person. If you've lost your way, look at what you love to do and then think about that person. Again, have you ever had someone give you a gift and you're like, I know why you thought that was a good gift, versus when someone gives you a gift, you're like, oh my God, you know me so well. So go back to the basics, go back to the enthusiasm of what you love, particularly if it's for no reason at all.
Wow, that's so great. You know, Lori, I'm listening to this interview and I'm part of the interview and I have to rewind the interview multiple times because there's so much to learn. I mean, there's just golden nuggets throughout the interview here, Lori. Now, something I know about you is that, you know, you have Juilliard training, you have other professional theatrical training. Can you talk about that training and how maybe it got you ready for your career and what you learned from that type of intense training, you know, when you did that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the work that I do is in film and acting and singing and so forth. And so many things that I learned from it. One thing that I learned, and particularly as an entrepreneur, always have something in your life that you're doing just for fun that isn't your job, because then your self-esteem is not completely tied to your job. Like, there are days when the consulting thing, maybe I've hit a roadblock or somebody's upset or they're concerned or there's confusion or miscommunication, and I go, great, let me go play with my creative career. There's other days when my creative career isn't going well and I go, yay, I can go, you know, back to my people, here we are, etc. So have something fun in your life that you do, again, that's just for fun. In terms of the training, being a good actor and being a good performer is not about what you say. It's about listening to the other person. When you're an actor on stage, your goal is to be a good partner, to give the other person what they need so that they're successful. And if you do that, then both of you are successful. If your goal is to be the star and take the limelight, no one's going to be successful.
That is so interesting. And I've never thought about it like that, but that's a great way to look at it and a great way to sort of turn the table on your mindset that provides something that's very powerful to you in your life. And I love it so much. I definitely want to bring you back on the show because I know that you've taught at NYU Business School and Pace University. And there's some things about, you know, teaching at school that I think we want to talk about and explore perhaps another time about, you know, how valuable is that type of school versus the type of school of hard knocks where entrepreneurs don't get that type of education, but they're going through the trenches every single day with their feet on the floor, and what we can learn and garner from both of those methods of learning and becoming great as you proceed on one's particular journey. I know you've only cut out a certain amount of time, but I really been waiting to ask you the final question because I've been thinking about your journey and I've been thinking, Lori, about, you know, your successful career and what you're able to do for so many amazing world-class companies. And you're so, you know, ingrained in helping them with their company. So I wonder, what's your why? Why does Lori Hamilton get up in the morning? What's the thing that gets you going? What's the thing that keeps you moving? Because you always seem to be having something new and something fantastic on the horizon that you, and more goals that you continue to accomplish. What's your why in the morning?
Well, that's a great question. And thank you so much again for your kind words. I went to one of those, like, you know, expand your life seminars. And the guy said, whatever you were deprived of often becomes your gift to give to the world. Or whatever you were made fun of. I was always called a weirdo, which weirdo, by the way, means supernatural. So it's like intuitive and all this kind of stuff. And my dad was the youngest of 15. His dad died before he was born. He was adopted at age 13 out of foster care by some cousins. And his new father was actually recovering from a war injury. And my dad went on to become a doctor and opened a medical practice in a poor community, the Butcher paid him in meat, the baker paid him in donuts. And he would go in and see all these little old ladies with like tubes everywhere and be like, Mrs. Jones, were you tap dancing again? And as a kid, my mom really wasn't that excited about being a mom. She nicknamed me the child who ruined my life because she didn't really want to have kids. And then she had six of them. So she was, you know, she didn't have choices. It was a different time. But what it did for me is the combination of struggling to be heard and the example of watching my dad treat everybody with respect. My passion in life is to tell the beautiful stories of everyday people. I get to go to somebody at the head of a Fortune 500 company and go, this is how you can actually help these people. And by the way, this is what you do that really does help them. And I hopefully uplift everybody and give them a better sense of purpose. And that's just who's luckier than me?
Lori, that is absolutely awesome. This has really been an honor to have you on the show. I'm definitely going to bring you back because I could do a couple hours with you. There's so much information, and there's so much background that you have that can help so many different people. I mean, I feel even listening to you that I'm getting, you know, a Harvard MBA or Columbia MBA or an NYU MBA just by listening to you. I can't wait to get you back on the show because there's so much I want to explore with you. But this has been great, Lori. Thank you so much. I mean, this has been tremendous. It's been a real honor for me to have you on the show. And I wanted to thank you for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Well, thank you so much, Andy. Thank you so much to .com and the Spotlight Series. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to hopefully give back to the world what I've been given so much of. So I really thank you for your kind words, for doing all your homework. And again, thanks for the opportunity. It was a real pleasure to talk with you.